Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
So God says, and this is not about slapping someone's hand. I want you to understand that God says this is what protects you in your gift. If you're not careful when you're a giver, you can get hurt by your giving. Because one of the hardest things to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to find out who to give to. I didn't say the hardest thing to do is find out someone who wants you to give to them. Let me tell you a good story. True story happened to me today. I get a phone call, Kenny, and it's this person crying on the end of the phone. And they had they don't live here anymore, don't go to church here anymore. They live in a different state, but I have a very huge reverence for them and their connection to this church. But they have seen better times, and they have struggled immensely. And so they call me up, and they say, I need X amount of dollars. And I'm in huge trouble, and I overspent in this area on groceries and this stuff. And, you know, I would never call if I didn't really need it. And I know this person and have known this person for probably 35, 40 years, long time. And Joanna, they'd spend it on the gambling boat. They lied to me. When they asked me for the money, they didn't know that I knew that the last time they asked me for money, they lied to me. And I started learning that when you give, you check it out. And so you have to realize that in giving, in God blessing you financially, it requires a lot of wisdom and stewardship. You don't want to be tight-fisted. You want to give generously. The Bible is very clear about that. And you want to give sincerely. But you don't want to also give in a way in which it's going to hurt you and make you resentful because you gave to somebody who took advantage of you. Understand? That's good wisdom right there. And so, and that's what the devil does. See, when you have a gift, whether it's giving or administration or prophecy or tongues or whatever it is, when you have a gift, the devil has a strategy against your life. No use comes about because of abuse. Abuse leads to no use. When he abuses your gift and has somebody to take advantage of your gift of hospitality or your gift of healing or whatever your gift is, it'll cause you to pull it back and not use it. So God says, for those of you that got this gift of giving, I want you to impart, and I want you to give generously. I want you to be very generous in what you're giving, because I've blessed you, and I believe, I am a firm believer that God blesses people to bless the gospel in a local church. Definitely believe that. But he says, I want you to do it sincerely, and I want you to do it generously, but I also want you to do it with no pretense of hypocrisy, because I don't want this gift in you to be hurt. Okay? And so this gift is the ability to let the overflow of blessings, let God flow through you. And it also means that when you give, there's no ulterior motive. No ulterior motive in the Greek. It means that you're not giving to manipulate. You're not giving because you want somebody to like you. You've got to really search through why you're giving, okay? It also means that you give, also in the Greek, it implies you give with faithfulness. And one of the things that I've learned, and I'm trying to think if I've ever given to anyone that I know now was a fraud. Not that I know of where I would regret giving somebody someone. There are a lot of screwed up people that need giving to, but I wouldn't call them a fraud. But the Bible says when you have the gift of giving, make sure that you give it with this understanding of faithfulness. And that faithfulness implies that you're giving it for God and to please Him and to show Him that you can be trusted with the blessings in your life. And so being giving and the gift of giving is actually showing that there's a faithfulness there with you. this Greek word also means the assistance of others. Now, let's talk about what happened today. I haven't forgotten. I didn't even think about that when I was studying for this. A person calls and they want us to give them money, but yet they have gambled it away on a boat, gambling boat. My background is addiction counseling. My background is actually social work. My two doctorates are not even in theology. If I don't go crazy, I'll have a second one in a year. But I've had a lot to deal. I've dealt a lot with addiction. And so if we were to give to this person that we all love, and if I called their name, some of you would know them, is that the right place to give to? How many say no? Let me see hands. How many say yes? I'm with you. No. You want to know why? Because if you reward bad behavior, it's going to get repeated. And sometimes you got to dig yourself out of something so you don't do it again. And if there's no pain to something, there's no change to something. And even though you don't want to see your sister or your son or daughter hurt, sometimes when you say no, it actually causes them to have to grow up. So God says, on the opposite end of this, is that I want you to make sure that you are assisting other people. That you're assisting other people. There's a lady in this church who I consider to be a saint. She's one of the best single moms in the church, never misses service, keeps her kids in church constantly, and pays tithes off of a very, 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 very little amount of money in her life. Very little. I don't even know how they live on it. But that's her tithe. She ain't cheating God. And they needed assistance this week. And it really was. And the Bible says, you know what? There's a good person to give to. Even though people have abused the gift of giving through these fake preachers on TV, you have to realize that the gift of giving is something that opens up a lot of delight in your life when you have the gift of giving. And when you find legitimate causes to give to, you advance the kingdom. And you bless the Lord. You make Him smile. And so He says, make sure that while you guard your internal heart, almost like your internal inheritance, a little bit kind of like that, it's internal, you also have to watch ulterior motives and then to make sure that you stay faithful in giving. And a lot of people struggle here. God wants to use everyone in the gift of giving. But have you ever noticed that it's harder to give when you're getting an increase and easier to give when you got to have an increase? Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you got to have an increase and you need God to come through you for financially, I remember, and I've told this story so many times, I used to take my tithe check when I went to Mount Olive Church of God when I was in my MDiv program, and I was so embarrassed. And I was trying to, you know, I was a young adult, I was in my 20s, I didn't want to ask mom and dad for money, and I was, you know, I just wanted to be on my own, try to do it on my own as best as I could. A lot of that's pride, but I did. I wanted to try to do it on my own. And I would take my tithe check. My tithe check, honest to God, was $15. And I was working two or three jobs and trying to go to school full time, and it was $15, and I'd fold it up, and I would be embarrassed because I would put it in an offer. You know what? God honors that. God saw that. God sees that. And what God says is that if you're faithful with that, I'll bless you with more. And if you're not faithful with the little, then I can't trust you with more. But the problem isn't being faithful in the little for most people. The problem is that after you learn to be faithful, because that's all you got, because you got to make a decision to keep the lights on, pay your light bill, or put that $15 towards eating out one day a week, you know, or having something to eat when you go watch kids at a group home like I did. You have to make up your mind that you're going to put God first in your giving, and when you do that, that faithfulness unlocks God. But the problem becomes is when God answers your prayer and blesses you with more, most people can't give and be honest with their tithes. Very hard. I've got friends that are billionaires. Acquaintances, he's a friend, I played golf with him, he's a godly man, very godly man, but I've watched him struggle. I watched him struggle with all of these things, actually. Every one of them. So when you do that, the Bible says also in the Greek, this word giving means proper motivation. Proper motivation. So let's say you see a homeless man standing on the side of the road in Nashville with a woman who's pregnant. True story. And you gave to them because you were wanting to reach people who were down and out, and you gave to them. And they said thank you, and what I always love about people like that is they always say, God bless you. Until you say no. Then they don't use the word God that way. They use it another way. But the greatest education I've ever got in my life is when a homeless man who lived under the bridge in Nashville, Tennessee, said, Pastor Michael, he had a speech impediment. He said, you're a good guy. He said, but you're dumb as a box of rocks. I said, what do you mean? And he said, all these people are taking advantage of you. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, he couldn't say the word let. He said, let me show you. And he took me through Nashville and showed me every gimmick in the world. And he took me to the turnoff to where you go to the housing projects in Nashville and where you go to the state fairgrounds. And there's a woman there that's pregnant with a guy that has a sign that says, God bless you, I need food, money for food. And he said, what do you see right there? And I said, well, I see a pregnant woman. And now, you know, it looks like she's about 9 months pregnant. And he said, that's exactly the point. I said, what do you mean? He said, how long does it take to have a baby? 9 months. How long has she been standing on this corner? 13 months, probably. And I realized that I had been giving, and I had to go back and check my motivation. Why did I give to him? Yeah, I felt sorry for him. Maybe it made me feel better about myself. Maybe I felt like I was doing something. But sometimes when you give to people, you hurt them. And you got to know who to give to and who not to give to. That's good. This is good wisdom. What the Bible says with the word of giving. So somebody say amen. All right. Let's look at this word right here real quick. Look at the gift of healing. Okay? The gift of healing is hama. And this gift is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12 and 9. What's interesting is that this word is plural in the Greek. So it's not healing, it's healings. But what's interesting, it's not the fruits of the Spirit, it's singular, the fruit of the Spirit. You got to watch singular and plural in the Bible with these things. So the gift of healing is really interesting because this means a healing or a cure. It doesn't just mean supernatural healing, you can't walk and you walk. It means that there's a cure that you help find. It also means that there's a divine healing. And it's the only gift, which is interesting, watch this. It's the only gift in the Greek where the word charisma is mentioned in front of the word healing, ama. So while this just says the gift of, this says giving, this specific word in this, in the passages in 1 Corinthians that I showed you, told you to go to, the word healing actually has a word in what would be right here, which in English would mean it would be in front of it. So it means charisma healing. And charisma is a gift. It's a grace gift. It's a representation of the Holy Spirit. What's interesting, and don't stone me, but it does not mean all healings. Now, how many believe God heals? Say amen. I know He heals. How many believe God does miracles? I know He does. I know He does. But let me tell you hard truth. The providence of God is what decides healing. If God healed everyone, there would be no penalty for the curse of the law. Of what Adam and Eve did. There'd never be any penalty. Everybody'd live forever. The planet would be overpopulated. It would be no penalty. God said, if you eat of the forbidden fruit, sin's going to come into this world and diseases is going to come with it. This word does not mean that all healings. It doesn't mean all. It actually means, and this is what's fascinating to me, and people made fun of Oral Roberts for this in the 70s, but here's what this means. It means natural and spiritual. It means a doctor who finds a cure for cancer that's a Christian, and that's I prayed that prayer for years. It means a natural cure or a supernatural cure. Now, you know what I find interesting? And my mom's real big on this stuff. The Bible says that you stay healthy once you get to heaven by eating from the trees of the tree of life in the book of Revelation. The Bible is very clear about dietary laws, and I'm not talking about not eating lobster and shrimp and those kind of things. Thank God for grace. Amen. But I'm talking about how bread should be made and how they made bread before 1929 and how they make bread after 1929 and how one part of it's nothing but just bleached, nothing with nutrients, no grains, and how the Bible talks about grains. The Bible actually has a lot to say about dietary laws, and part of God's healing is for us to put the things of nature and that are natural into our body to heal us. And you're never going to convince me that there's not a lot to be said about natural homeopathic healing. The fact, like I was on a field trip with Aiden at Angel Mounds here a while back. And they took us through this garden and they said, well, this plant, the Indians used this when they got sick. And the Indians used this for that. And the Indians used that for that. And that and that and that. And then he looked up and told the kids, he said, they didn't have Medicare. They didn't have no Walgreens. I think God in his wisdom didn't waste time on just producing any kind of tree. I think it's very interesting that CBD oil has so many proprieties without the THC that makes you high that actually brings about healing. I think it's furthermore interesting that for most of humanity, people have abused marijuana for the wrong reasons, and then God had a medicinal purpose for it sometimes. You know, I think that's interesting. And I didn't give you permission to go smoke pot. Don't you go out here and tell people I said that. Okay? You're a liar in the name of Jesus. But this also means, this is interesting because the word healing there also means let me write this down the right way. Listen to this. It means the result of a cure or a process. The result of a cure or a process. And in it, I thought it when I read that and studied for it, I thought, you know, that's interesting because the Bible says Jesus healed this one guy, and I forgot where it's at, it's in the Gospels. And he said, what do you see? And he says, I see trees that look like men. Jesus laid hand on him again and says, now what do you see? Sometimes healing is a process. Listen, always hang on for healing. And if I need healing, I'd want to be around somebody who believed everybody got healed. And I don't want to take hope away from anyone. But I don't want to lie to you and give you a false hope either. Because then you get confused and you think God doesn't love you because God didn't heal you. We have diseases and sickness because sin entered into the world through one man. And God is sending his son back to stop sickness, sin, and diseases. And there is going to come a day when there will be no more. That doesn't mean that there is not a supernatural healing, because this word means supernatural too, and it's the only word in out of all the gifts that actually has the word charisma in front of it. So you can't take away the fact that it's supernatural and that God doesn't heal people supernaturally. I watched God heal a girl supernaturally one time. I didn't believe it, but nobody knew what I told her when she was in a coma, and she wakes up and starts calling my name, and then I run down there and she tells me everything I told her. And when I prayed for her, her fingers were purple. Her feet were purple. I was there to talk, to lead the family into turning life support off on her. At Trover Clinic, probably 14, 15 years ago. So it is supernatural. You believe God heals supernaturally, say amen. But I also think that there's a little bit of wisdom here that, just like this thing on my arm, you see that right there? It's the best thing ever happened to me. I fought it for years because I didn't want to be a harpoon whale where everybody knows where I'm at, a tracking device by the doctor. What it does, it tells me every single day, Billy, any time of the day, no more pricking a finger. I just wave my iPhone at it. I know exactly where my sugar is at. It was at 60, which was too low. I think sometimes you can pray and ask God to heal you of sugar diabetes, but you suck on a chocolate milkshake 5 times a day for 7 days, and you can't get mad because God didn't heal you. Sometimes you got to learn to eat right, and you got to watch what you put in your body. You're never going to convince me that all the cancer and all the stuff that's going around that it seems like everybody gets now isn't related to antibiotics and hormones and food. Not going to convince me it doesn't do that. There are scientific studies, LaDonna, you may have seen it, scientific studies that show when you go to a school where kids are unruly and undisciplined, the kids, you know, when you get kicked out of school, the school you go to, they change their diet and discipline problems dropped in half. That's sort of, it's a scientific fact. So this main supernatural, and it's the only word in the Greek that actually has the word charisma in front of it. But it also means, it doesn't mean all healings. And it doesn't mean that when you have the gift of healing, you can heal everybody. But what I thought was interesting is that when you really look at the Greek the way it's supposed to be and not some TV preacher, and you really look at it the way it's supposed to be, what it does say is that God uses people with the gift of healings that teaches people how to have a good healthy menu, how to have a good healthy body, how to eat, how to create medicine. So the gift of healing isn't just some evangelist with snakeskin shoes on. No. Sometimes the gift of healing is like Dr. T.L. Lowry. There's a picture. If you're ever in Cleveland or in Chattanooga, Tennessee, go to the Church of God Tennessee headquarters, right up there on the mountain. Beautiful building, beautiful facilities. And there's a picture of Dr. T.L. Lowry. He's preached here before he passed away. A statesman. He used to pack out tents in the 50s and 60s with 50,000 people in him. I mean, he's just a massive man of God. But there's a picture of him laying hands on a woman out of a wheelchair, and they caught it just the time she's rising up. And God's a healer. But also, don't think that God doesn't want to heal you possibly through some other natural means, too. And that God may not want to use you if you have the gift of healing to be that. And this is what's even interesting. This word actually means a sudden or a gradual healing. It means that God speaks the word and you're healed instantly. My grandpa, I'll never forget my papa. My papa got up one day and he had, I forgot what problem he had, but he had this problem and he needed God to heal him. And Oral Roberts looked at a TV screen, and they used to have this black and white TV. Anybody remember black and white TVs? You know how you used to put aluminum foil on it to get the reception? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Wave at me. I'm right, yeah. But papa and grandma had that kind of TV. And they would sit right there. It had aluminum foil on it. And Oral Roberts looked at the screen and said, "You need a healing," and called out what my papa needed. You lay your hands on that TV. And my grandpa laid his hands on the TV and was healed and never had that problem again a day in his life. There's people like my mom since December the 11th that has fought for a healing that's got it gradually, though. God wants to heal you. That I'm convinced of. And here's what I believe about divine healing. Until it's my time to go, I can expect to be healed and walk in divine health if I do my due diligence. Let me believe that. Let me see. I don't care what you believe, but let me see that. Well, I do care what you believe, or I wouldn't be teaching this. Right? But here's what's further interesting. I know I'm about out of time. This also means physical and mental. We tend to think that the gift of healing is related to charismatic television. It's not. The gift of healing can be sudden or gradual. It can be natural or supernatural. It could be a cure or a divine healing. It could be sudden. It could be physical or mental. Physical or mental, you know? And it also means, now this is interesting, I never knew this. You know what else this implies? The use of medication. When I read that, I laughed because I know my Pentecostal theology as far as history is concerned. And Pentecostals used to not take medicine. Have you ever known anyone that thought it was not a godly thing to take medicine and they didn't take medicine? Well, they meant well, but it's not biblical. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that part of it. Use of medication, this word actually implies a more balanced approach to healing than what we've been taught. Now, you know I'm out of time, but let me just go down some rabbit trails, just real quick, simple ones. Isn't it interesting that we all have this thought of what divine healing looks like in our minds? And because it's reinforced, this image is reinforced in culture, on television, in crusades, that we think we know and knew what this word means. But when we really do exegesis and hermeneutics on it and we dig out the meaning of it, we find out that there was more there than what we thought we knew. That the gift of healing is broad, includes doctors, includes medicine, it includes supernatural manifestations, it includes processes, it includes instantaneous cures, whether they be sudden or gradual, it includes physical or mental, it includes being cured of something or a healing that's taking place in your life. And God says that, you know, I never thought about this, but those of you in the medical community, I wonder if you've ever really stopped and thought that God has given you the gift of healing. And it's interesting. Look at 1 Timothy. I don't want to get myself in trouble, but look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. All right? Listen, I didn't write this. I'm just reading it. 5:23. It says, don't continue drinking only water, but use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illness. I find it very interesting that the Apostle Paul would tell Timothy during the dispensation of the charismatic gifts, whether you're a cessationist or not a cessationist, and a cessationist says that the gifts went out with the early apostles, and they did not. I think it's very interesting that the Apostle Paul, who told Timothy, remember the prophetic word that was spoken over you, and remember the faith that was in your mama Lois and your grandmother Eunice, and remember the prophecy that was spoken over you, charisma, charismatic gift of prophecy. You remember those things. But when it came to healing, he said, you might want to use a little wine rather than the water here. That kind of changes the way you watch TV, doesn't it? And it, to me, that's fascinating. That Paul actually gave instructions that were medicinal, not supernatural. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't God use Paul to do miracles? Was it Paul or Peter that we used to anoint handkerchiefs? Acts 10? And wasn't it one of those two guys that used to have a shadow that was so anointed at God that the sick would walk past it and be healed? Peter? And now he's saying, hey, listen, if you're sick, but the same scripture says that if there are any sick among you, call for the elders of the church in the book of James and let the elders anoint you with oil and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And so what I want you to understand today is that don't be picky about how God heals you. That's worth the price of a mission, isn't it? Don't be picky about how God heals you. If God wants to heal you supernaturally, praise God. one of the things, and you have no idea how much I struggled with this in my life, especially early on. When I first went into ministry, my first 6 months, I was a kid. I was a baby. I was 18, 17, 18 years old. And I was at Opryland with a bunch of kids. I'd taken them there to the amusement park, and we get a phone call. I guess somebody had to go to a phone booth because there was no cell phones back then. And a young boy named Todd Stewart, mom and dad lived here for years, part of Life Temple. You knew you were part of Life Temple in the early days. And anyway, his dad had dropped dead with had dropped into an aneurysm, into a coma. And if I had ever prayed in my life for God to heal someone and believed that God was going to heal someone, it was his daddy. I can take you to the chapel on the bottom floor of Baptist Hospital and tell you that that was the location out of 37 years of ministry next to the Glen Eyrie or next to Asheville, North Carolina one time, where I can point to the place where I felt the presence of God the strongest. And they turned life support off on him and he died. And I was a freshman in college, and I went to a college that had some hyper-faith people in it, and the hyper-faith person looked at me, Brother Bass, and said, if you had only had the faith, God had healed him. And I was just barely saved then. And I wanted to lay hands on someone very subtly. And I've grown to learn as a pastor that it's cruel to give you false hope. But to realize that God can heal you through medicine or he can heal you supernaturally, and that I'm going to believe with you that God's going to heal you. And then you got to step back and let the will of God, peace, providence, take over. I prayed, if any woman, any God, I've ever met a godly woman in my life, is Luella Duncan, my mother's mom. And she died of breast cancer. He went to a Benny Hinn crusade, hoping God's going to heal her. If anybody should have ever been healed because they were just a good person, am I the only one in this room that ever, I mean, secretly, don't tell nobody, it's just you and me, okay? Am I the only one in this person that finds out so-and-so's got cancer and you think quietly to yourself, why didn't so-and-so get it instead of them? I could have gave you a list of people that weren't good, God. Seems like the good people suffer sometimes. And R.T. Kendall told you the truth. You know what R.T. Kendall told me at lunch Sunday, last Sunday? He said, I don't know if I'm going to die Wednesday or not. He said, but if I do, and that's the last message I preached, I'm okay with it. And he told us that in the Christian life, you're going to have suffering. But what we need to do is broaden our understanding of healing and realize that God still heals and it's sovereign. And I'm praying for people and believing that people are getting healed. I'm praying for lots of people for divine healing. So do not take away from this that we need to stop the faith in healing for people who need healing. What you need to understand is that you're not God and you're not in charge. Put your faith and encourage people and love them and then let God be God. Don't give people false hope. And if you say, I know God told me he's going to heal you, you better make sure you know God spoke to you and it wasn't pizza from Domino's the night before. But broaden your sense of healing and realize that in the medical community you may have the gift of healing. And broaden it to the place to where you realize that it's physical and mental, sudden and gradual. It's a process. It's supernatural. And it's natural. And it's charisma. Charismata. Pentecostal. It is. And it's real. It's so real, supernaturally, that it's the only gift that has the word supernatural in front of it. In the Greek. But God heals through medicine and through time also. Amen. Anybody got anything out of this? I think this stuff's very interesting. We're going to keep getting through this in a good way. And we're going to be done. And what I'm going to try to do next week is I'm going to give you a test. And don't worry, you won't fail it. You can't flunk this test. It's a test that you take on your own. Maybe in 2 weeks we'll do that. 2 weeks. And you're going to grade yourself while we're here in the church and take this test, and I'm going to help you find out your spiritual gifts. And then I'll be here, because the Bible says, if you were here last week, that my job is not to part the whiskers to put the bottle in. My job is to equip the saints for ministry, to help you be who God has called you to be. And you can be everything God's called you to be and be happy with it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful Bible study. God, I thank you for the broadness, the diversity of the gifts, even in the gifts. And I thank you, God, that you're a supernatural healer. I've watched you supernaturally heal people. I know you do. God, I also know that you use medicine and you use the hands of physicians, and that you do it mentally and physically, and that it's a process sometimes. And I won't be picky and tell a sovereign God how to heal me, but I'm going to expect to be healed. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.